This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. And last week, New York theatergoers got the chance to experience an intimate portrait of one family rocked by the civil war in Syria. The play, While I Was Waiting, had its North American premiere as part of the Lincoln Center Festival in New York. It's performed by six Syrian actors entirely in Arabic with English subtitles. The play is inspired by a true story. It follows a family grappling with the aftermath of the brutal beating of a 20-something man named Taim at a Damascus checkpoint. Taim is in a coma, and while his family and friends confront their grief and their guilt, Taim knows what's going on around him. He's watching everything unfold, and he's telling the audience his story. Takeaway producer Alexandra Boti spoke with Mohammed Al-Farai. He's the 27-year-old Syrian actor who plays Taim. They talked about coming to the U.S., what Mohammed hopes this play will mean to audiences, and why he always goes home to Damascus.
اسمي تايم. My name is تايم. عمري بآخر العشرينات تقريبا. I am 27 years old. من ليلة الحادث بطلت عد. Since the night of the accident, I can't remember anything.
When Mohammed Al-Rifai first stepped on stage in the role of Taim, he was thousands of miles from his home in Damascus.
My first time was in Bruxelles, and it was really a strange feeling because in this play I am saying my opinion, my personal opinion as Mohammed, that I couldn't say it in Syria because it's dangerous. There is a line, you can't, the red lines, you can't cross those lines. So the theater, at the first time, I forget that I am in Europe. I thought I am in Damascus. So when I finished the play, I felt, oh my God, the police will come and arrest us and it will be a big problem. And then, I'm in Bruxelles, I'm not in Damascus, so it's okay. Be calm, Mohammed, it's okay.
The play While I Was Waiting brought Mohammed and the other members of the all-Syrian cast to theaters across Europe, but they almost didn't get the chance to come to America. With President Trump's travel ban in place, obtaining visas at one point seemed impossible.
It was really complicated. I have applied twice. The first time I had to go to the American embassy in Beirut. I did the first interview. They didn't give me a specific answer. They were asking quick questions. They didn't let me complete my answer. It was something very strange, actually. They asked for my email and told me they would reply me soon. I have waited their reply for a month to find out I wasn't accepted. Then all of us felt like we not able to come to New York and make this show.
At last, he got clearance, just days before he was set to leave, to travel to the U.S. to bring the character of Taim to a New York stage.
From this character, I have something like freedom, say everything, to describe everything. So it's really something different for me.
Mohammed feels connected to his onstage counterpart. He can relate to Taim's disappointment with an uprising that embraced violence. And he knows what it is to lose people he loves, just like Taim and his family, and how it reshuffles your priorities.
When the family lose Taim, they really don't care about the situation, don't care about politics. They just want to make Taim come back and complete our life.
Have you lost anyone?
Some of my friends, yes.
More than 400,000 people have died in the Syrian civil war. But Mohammed says he worries that to Americans, the Syrian lives affected and lost have become just numbers and statistics.
Most of people they see in the news, people fighting each other, people killing each other, and numbers of death people. It's not Syria at all. There is people want to live in Syria, want to love, want to communicate with each other. And also there's people want to make children, get married, as a normal people. So I think when the audience see this play, really I want them just to see Syrian people, normal Syrian people. We are not just the numbers. We are a human like you, like anyone in this world.
While I Was Waiting will continue to tour theaters globally. But when it's done, Mohammed plans to return home to Damascus.
It's my country, my family there, most of my friends there. And if I still can go to Syria, sure I will. But it's really risky. Every day, every time when I leave Syria, when I travel out of the country, I feel like it's my last time. Because no one knows what will happen. Maybe they will ask me to go to the military service. Maybe I will face security problem. So then I have to find another place to go to and live in. There is no guarantee for that. I love my city. I love my country.
At the end of the play, Taim delivers a monologue about his final moments in his beloved home city. For Mohammed, it's a scene that transports him from theater back to real life.
It's my last time in Damascus. I mean Taim, the character. The last time for him in Damascus. When I see this monologue every single time, I feel like I will face this situation soon. Soon, I have to leave the country. So I will face this situation. So for that, I feel afraid. I am doing it during character of time, but I'm afraid to doing it in the real life, in my personal life. But I am sure of that. It's really soon, because this war will not stop soon. It will take time. So for that, I'm sure soon I have to leave the country. And this moment in the play, at the end of the play, of time, it's really touched me from inside.
Until that day comes, Mohammed says there are places to find joy. He plans to work on comedy when he gets back home and to try to grow the theater scene there. But in the meantime, in everyday scenes from the streets of Damascus, he sees reasons for hope.
When you look to the children, they laughing, they want to grow up, they want to make their own life. You can catch some hope.
Are you hopeful?
I must be hopeful to complete my life. If we lose hope, if I lose hope, I should end my life. So I must be hopeful. I have to be like this.
For The Takeaway, I'm Alexandra Boti.
You can see photos and watch a clip of the play While I Was Waiting. It's all on our website at thetakeaway.org.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.